I am a public school graduate from Hominy High School. Went off to Oklahoma State, got my ag econ degree, like all good rancher sons do. And then took a commission in the Air Force because I wanted to fulfill the first part of that promise. Had never flown before, but I rode a damn good horse. And I compared riding horses to flying jets, graduated to top of my class, got to fly the F-15 for 8 years, culminating in the Gulf War. Perfect timing to lead the first combat mission. Got a Distinguished Flying Cross for disobeying 3 direct orders and not killing a friend. And it just started from there. We should have not let Kevin Stitt know those stories, but it's here we are. So following my military career, Wendy and I have been richly blessed. We took a cattle operation and expanded it, bought a little bitty bank in Pawhuska, now it's in 17 communities, many of your communities, wireless retail, title and abstract, and a law firm. And our 6 children are now grown. They're all married. We have 7 grandchildren and 8 now. I recall back to Burl Killian's lecture when I was 14. I've got an 11-year-old, and he was absolutely manipulating me. But I appreciate that because really it gave me purpose. And I am now on the crisp of that last promise. I thought it was appropriate to be attorney general first so I could learn government from the inside out, as opposed to our current governor who has no clue about government and just pretends. Sorry, that was not fair. But the military and attorney general, we have been blessed. And it is that connection to Oklahoma that is compelling me to serve in this capacity right now and run for governor. When I ran for office, I made 4 promises. I keep promises as attorney general. When I took the oath of office, we had 12,000 marijuana grow facilities throughout the state of Oklahoma, and nobody was owning it. We had OBN knocking out a few, OMMA enforcing regulatorily, but I took it on as my job, and I petitioned the legislature to fund and authorize an organized crime task force, and we stood up the very best men and women that we could bring into the agency, and we took the battle to organized crime. Since that day, we've closed down 10,600 illegal marijuana grow operations, principally Chinese syndicated crime organizations and Mexican cartels, breaking the back of organized crime. It's been remarkable. Thank you. In the process, we've taken billions of dollars of black market off the street, thousands of pounds of fentanyl, liberated scores of women from sex trafficking, human trafficking. We've busted underground casino operations. We've run the gamut, and it's crazy. And I'm proud of what we've done. We tracked the leaders, and we now see that the leadership of the Chinese syndicated crime organizations are migrating out of Oklahoma for, of all places, Maine. So I called my friend out of Aaron Fry, the AG in Maine. I said, Aaron, I got a gift for you. The Chinese. Did I lose it? Okay, there I am. Recently, President Trump has done a video endorsing the other guy that I'm running against, and he said, that Drummond is trouble. And I am. If you're an out-of-state corporation coming into Oklahoma to injure Oklahomans, I've got your number, and I hold them accountable. For example, for our pharmacists, the pharmacy benefit managers of Big Pharma have tried to put rural pharmacists out of business. We've already received a $53 million judgment. We've got 3 trials set this fall. We'll probably get another $250 million. State Farm and Allstate, we found a pattern of conduct within them. Oklahoma is paying twice the national average in insurance costs for your house, and we get half the national average in claims. Something's wrong. And what we believe is they simply found a loophole in Oklahoma that nobody holds them accountable. And so we're doing that. And then lastly, I'm all about economic development. And if that Inola smelter were owned by Americans and had a plan not to pollute Inola, I'd be all behind it. But when they filed their application in February, they said, we're going to put 425 tons of fluoride particulate into the air a year. Now, that's a ton and a half a day. And fluoride is heavy, so it goes up out the smelter and it drops within 5 miles. And studying that, we know that in the United Arab Emirates, they don't let anybody live within 5 miles of their smelter, and you cannot consume any hay product or animal that lives within the 5 miles. Well, we know Inola is the hay capital of the world, not the state, not the United States, but the world. And that smelter, if they don't do anything, will really put that entire industry out of business. Now, that's not to say they can't change it if I'm holding them accountable, but right now they've refused to. Similarly, they produce 55,000 gallons every 2 hours of wastewater, which is more than Inola produces in a week. And they want to use the Inola wastewater facility. And lastly, they're going to produce 750,000 tons of sludge every year that the EPA does not let us put in a landfill. So we've got problems. And I'm just going to hold accountable the Muslim monarchy and Centurion Aluminum out of Chicago before we give them $255 million of our taxes. So I'm here to hold it out of state companies accountable, even if it flies in the face of what the president wants or the governor wants, because that's my job. I'm the attorney general. I'm the chief protection officer, the chief legal officer for the state. Now, I want to be your governor. And I want to make you five promises, because I promises. One, we have to change the measurables on education, and it involves you. You are part of that solution. You already do an amazing, remarkable job, best in the nation, right here, best in the nation. We got to start with the 0-year-old, that little newborn, to the 5-year-old. We know that 60% of the brain is developed in the first 5 years. And yet 60% of our children, households, where they are not being stimulated, properly fed, and not disciplined. And so what's happening to our kindergarten teachers, they're getting feral children in the classroom, right, where they're spending a good bit of their time on four or five kids at the sacrifice of all. So there's a plan. In Oklahoma, if you make less than the federal poverty level, you are eligible for daycare subsidy. That's $15,800. New Mexico, about 5 years ago, said, we're going to raise it to four times. So $58,000 means you and your spouse can work at a fast food store and still get supplemental help to put your child in daycare. They like it so much this year, New Mexico took the lid off, but Oklahoma needs to start with four times. And if we do that, we let these children get into a quality daycare center where they are fed, where their minds are stimulated, and where they are taught the essence of discipline to sit in the classroom. If we do that, after 5 years, we've got children showing up in kindergarten ready to learn and disciplined. If we fund in every elementary school district, in every elementary school in the state of Oklahoma, a reading teacher, a reading specialist who supplements the first, second, and third grades and takes Jimmy and Susie where they are and advance them to grade level reading, we will have reading proficiency by the third grade. But this is where you come in. We can't take the eye off the junior, the middle school, and the high school student. We need more children exposed to shop and the trades. We need more children that go out of high school with a career path through career tech so that they can provide a living wage immediately in their home, not putting emphasis that every child goes to college or university. And they play an important role. But career tech needs an elevated role. You will have an advocate in the governor that recognizes the value of what you do, and we need to emphasize that every child needs exposure so that they can make an informed decision. Right now, I'm talking to a lot of out-of-state companies that are looking at Oklahoma, and we have to change our educational model. But they also say Oklahoma is short 50,000 pipe fitters, welders, electricians, plumbers, CDL drivers, nurse assistants, and hygienists. 50,000 short. You fill that gap. You need a state government that partners with you to fill that gap. We have so many needs in Oklahoma. Now, folks, that's an education policy from that newborn to the 19-year-old into your system so that we can meet the needs and the demands of Oklahoma in the future. That's education. Secondly, healthcare and mental health are number two and three, and they're interrelated. If we do nothing different over the next 5 years, we will lose 27 of our 90 rural hospitals. My home, Hominy, we lost our hospital in 1991. It closed. That was the last year we had net migration into Hominy, Oklahoma, other than trading a coach for a school teacher. That's about all we get, trading out educators. But we have had, so if we want to retain a healthy and vibrant rural Oklahoma, we have to protect our health care. We are 48th in the nation. We need to have 340B programs protected to our rural hospitals. We need a governor that recognizes the importance of that. We need to revisit, outsourcing our Medicaid reimbursements to a managed care organization. 8 years ago, our healthcare authority was fourth in the nation. And their burden rate was 3% of every federal dollar in Medicaid that they used to operate. The other 97% went to the providers. Today, we outsource that to three companies that are outside the state of Oklahoma. We pay them 15% off the top, and they sit on our money between 45 and 60 days on average, breaking the back of the provider, driving good providers out of Medicaid and out of Medicare because they're just not being reimbursed. So we have to change that. Mental health. My wife is Wendy. Her platform as First Lady will be homelessness, mental health, drug addiction, because it's at an exigent state in Oklahoma. It is my third priority, mental health. In the last 7 years, we have regularly kept level or defunded mental health because from the governor's chair, we don't have a problem. But we have a problem. In every community in Oklahoma, we have a problem. Now, homelessness is not a right. Homelessness is should be a temporary plight. And we, the state, if we hold ourselves out to be a state of believers, owe it to the very least among us to provide them an opportunity through mental health, getting them off the drugs they shouldn't be on the drugs they should be, shelter and workforce opportunity. Harken back to the WPA days, right? I mean, in my hometown, the streets are laid with bricks because the government provided work for men. We built armories across Oklahoma. The fields that had blown away in the Dust Bowl were made in contours through the WPA. The state of Oklahoma could provide work for the homeless that need work and out of their path. And that would be my third priority. If we do education, healthcare, and mental health right, we have created workforce. We have developed workforce, which is so critical. And lastly, we have to partner with our tribes. We have 38 semi-sovereign nations inside the parameters of Oklahoma. If you just ignored that they're tribes, and let's call them incorporations, if they are all incorporated, we would have three Fortune 500 companies, Chickasaws, Choctaws, Cherokees. And we would have one Fortune 1000 company that this is Potawatomi of Shawnee. Over the last 8 years, those powerful tribes have invested outside of Oklahoma because our governor has closed the door. Our compacts have expired, leaving over $75 million on the table. We need a governor who will reach out the hand of fellowship and partner with the tribes. Now, as your chief legal officer for 3.5 years, I've been working with the tribes on criminal justice. They are my best partners. When I go to conventions with attorneys general, they say, what makes Oklahoma different? This is what makes us different. We have federal partners, state, county, and community police forces. But in Oklahoma, we have the fifth, and that's the tribal police forces, our light horses and marshal services of our tribes. And they are my partners. Now, as we've worked together, we've talked about criminal justice. And why is it that the big tribes have not built 10, 15 courthouses populated with 75 to 100 judges and 150 prosecutors because they have that right to prosecute their own people? They're waiting for a governor who will partner with them. That will cost the big tribes each about $1 billion a year. Instead, they would rather partner with the state of Oklahoma. We've worked on an intergovernmental agreement where we would cross-deputize our prosecutors and our judges, and let the Native American felon, instead of going to Leavenworth or Fort Worth, go to the prison systems of Oklahoma, keeping the family network together. Now, if we do that, that's of a great savings to the tribes. They, on the other hand, will open up rural healthcare clinics and mental health clinics to non-tribal members. And we'll keep a debit and a credit. And that will help us advance in healthcare and criminal justice. Now, let me make you two promises in addition to that. One, we will not agree with each other 100% of the time. That's a promise. We will not agree with each other 100% of the time. But you can trust me 100% of the time. You've not seen me equivocate. You've not seen me backpedal. You've not seen me walk my way out of something. Because when I take a position, it's informed, it's vetted, and it's in the best interest of Oklahoma. On the 25th of August, we have a choice. And we know how important those choices are. We made a choice 8 years ago. We could have had a different choice, but we made a choice. On the 25th of August, you can pick the gentleman who bent his knee and flipped on Oklahoma and got an endorsement through Roger Stone. Or you can pick the man who will put you first, regardless of what the president says, regardless of what the governor says, regardless of what the Arkansas governor says. I will put Oklahomans first. With that, I thank you so much for your attention. I'd be happy to answer some questions.
Can you hear me okay? All right. So to ask the questions, I know this group. I know you all well. You have some great questions. Please come to this mic because I'm pointed up here.
Or I'll if you ask it, I'll repeat the question so everybody knows.
Well, that's what we'll do. Any questions? Right there in front.
Yes, sir. Okay. So the question was, hey, thank you for talking about the importance of career tech, but talk about the two same questions. No.
No.
I mean, I love our legislature, and I get it that they're frustrated. I get that. And let's be honest, it's all about prior, right? The Mid-America Industrial Plan gets $40 million a year to prior. Right? I mean, I get that. So the legislators are going, prior to get too much money, we've got to take it back. And I get it, but I don't trust them. I love them, but I don't trust them. Because they could easily go, well, we've got a deficit problem, so we're just going to not reimburse the ad valorem tax reimbursement in your districts. That will have the effect of impairing career tech and public education. So we have to vote no on both state questions. Just don't tell any legislator I said that, okay? Yes, ma'am. So the question was, if we give a raise to teachers, can we give a raise to support people? Yes. Right. I mean, the system, all right, you're talking to a fighter pilot, right? We get all the glory, get to wear the flight suit, you know, the women on, the men are jealous. I mean, I get it. And for every fighter pilot, there are 78 men and women behind him repairing the jet, the avionics, the fuel, the tires, everything about it. And so in the Air Force, they taught us, and it's an important lesson, as a lieutenant, I have one bar on my shoulder. And a wise colonel told me once, if you ever pass a man or woman with more stripes on their sleeve than you have bars on your shoulder, you beat them to the salute. Because that person is actually working. So the support staff is the backbone of our system. And we have to recognize them and reward them or they will leave. So you've got my commitment. Yes, sir.
I know you come from a small town community. And coming from that small town, you understand the importance of or how a small town school helps build that community, keeps them together. But as I understand, you're still in favor of our school voucher system, correct?
All right. So the question was, I'm a small town boy and the value of the small town community, but I'm still in favor of a school voucher. All right. So I am running for all of Oklahoma. I am biased in favor of public education. I love and value public education. And my home doesn't have a private school. Right. So if I wanted to send my children to a private school, I'd be driving 45 minutes into Tulsa to drop them off at a private school. So it doesn't feel fair, but Oklahomans by population have voiced their preference, and we do have school choice. Is there grounds to reassess it? It needs to be held accountable every year. We have to, because what we can't afford is to take money from public education and transfer it into the private education system. But that being said, I mean, parents are they hold the veto on where their children are educated. If it's in the home, at online with a online school, if it's in a public education school, if it's a private school or homeschool, we have to yield to the parent. But I will be a protector of public education. Yes, ma'am.
You went to election, you got those statements out.
Right. So the question was, if I win the election, but the state questions pass, what am I going to do to protect? So our legislators are saying, trust us. It's really just related to prior. I mean, it really is. That's the one who's getting it at all. And they want to say, what I've heard from the speaker and others is, instead of giving prior $40 million every year, let's give them 20 and put 20 million back into the general fund. Listen, these things can only happen with a governor's signature. I have spent 3.5 years building a coalition of like-minded men and women in the legislature. You saw it recently. 45 of them have come out and endorsed me in direct opposition to the president of the United States and the governor of Oklahoma. I have a coalition that will work with me. We will. If the state question should pass, I will use all of my effort to make sure school districts are not injured. Every Democrat, every Libertarian, every Independent needs to show up at the poll. There might be a couple of you guys in here. Go to the polls, right? It was intentional to put it on August 25th, because traditionally only the Republicans show up, and traditionally the Republicans are not as strong in education as they should. So everybody needs to show up. That's a great question. Other questions? Yes, ma'am. Two in the corner. All right, Sky will give you a microphone.
As governor, how do you plan on working in tandem with the OSDE state superintendent if you do not agree, whoever that is?
Well, I'm a little biased, but I'm not endorsing. But the guy whose picture's out front, I'm voting for. elections have consequences. I mean, it is frightening. If you think about it, and I want to talk about those other ballots real quickly. Superintendent of Public Education is important. Why? Because you could put one wrong bad apple with the microphone in that seat, and he can tear down the morale and enthusiasm and undermine the professionalism of our public educators and our career tech educators. Consequences of elections. So I think everybody in this room agrees on who should be our superintendent of public education. All right, we all agree. I love him. He's awesome. But we also need to look at the insurance commissioner and the labor commissioner and one other slide. Labor, yeah, that's it. Just four of us, right? So labor, insurance, and superintendent of public education. Do your homework and vote for the right, in this case, man. We don't have any women on the ballot, so sorry. But that great question. And your neighbor had a question also. That was it. And then there was one in the back, right here. Yes. Right. So the question was, as it relates to the educators of the healthcare providers? Right. So we need, right. I was at Drum Ride at the Career Tech there, and I was talking to the guy that was running the pig operation, and we were talking about how much these kids were going to make when they graduate. I mean, $7,500,000, in some cases, $150,000. I said, what are you getting paid? He goes, $75,000. I go, does it make you want to go operate a pig? He goes, yes. But he loves it. He's a dedicated educator, and he's committed to it. So we need equity and parity in our teaching core so that you who teach young men and women to go out and make more money have a motivation. I know you are public servants, and I know you understand you're going to make a little bit less than if you were out in the private sector, but it doesn't need to be a big delta. And we need to be aware of that and continue to incent you to be in the classroom teaching people. Yes, sir. So there was a question with no direction. You know, I just was like, all right, folks. The question was, am I looking at a future position? No. And here's why. I'm an Oklahoman. I love Oklahoma. I'm 62 years old. I'm an adult. I'm a grandfather. And I want, I mean, and I worked hard. My grandfather instructed me, go make your money so that you can serve the state without being distracted with the lure of making more money. So I'm at that place where I'm going to give you the next 8 years. I'll be 71. I think I'll be ready to go back to the ranch and call it. All right. Are we good or anything? Okay. One more question and then we'll wrap it up. Yes, in the back. Right. The question was, what's, you know, with the federal government tinkering with the Department of Education versus the Department of Labor and the funding, this is my commitment to Oklahoma. If the federal government abandons us, we have to stand in the gap. We have to take care of our schools, our children that need those programs. We have to stand in the gap. And that's why, on a note, you're hearing the other guy talk about zero income tax, zero property tax. He's changed that on zero property. He's walked that back. But on zero income tax, is there a path for us to, in the future, ultimately have zero income tax? Sure. After we are top of the nation in education, healthcare, and mental health, that we've created workforce, that we've partnered with our tribes, that we've built our economy, that people are coming into Oklahoma because we're, one, the best people in the nation, two, the most beautiful land, three, the best educators, and a place that people should be attracted. Then we have a path to reducing taxes. But between now and then, we are going to feed the hungry, educate our children, and take care of our elders, because that's the way we are raised. Thank you so much for your attention. God bless you.